We have come today to the second part of a four-part lesson, lesson 4 of 6 in a series of lessons, Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and Example. And we're looking at these lessons to remind us that Jesus is not only our Savior dying for our sins, but he has authority over our lives, being raised from the dead and now ruling at the right hand of God. We are to submit to him in all areas of life as Lord, and that he is our example, showing us how we should live before God while he was on the earth by the attitude and actions that he set forth that are related to us even in the Apostles' teaching in the New Testament for us to follow his same example. Jesus is the perfect, greatest teacher, and he displayed that while he was on the earth. Jesus confirmed to be a teacher from God, confirmed to be deity, the Son of God, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. By performing miracles, he confirmed that he was and is deity, divine, eternal in nature. Jesus sinlessly lived according to what he taught. That is something that we cannot say. But we must live according to what we teach, and when we fall short, as Christians, which we often do, we must repent of our sins and confess those to God and pray for forgiveness, that his blood might cleanse us from all sin. Jesus felt love and compassion for the lost. We should love those who we teach as well. Jesus claimed also his teaching was directly from the Father. His teaching was directly from the Father. And we want to continue with that idea because in his great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus made a series of statements in Matthew chapter 5. Beginning in verse 20, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit adultery,' and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering." So he made the point that you must be reconciled and not harbor anger in your heart, because that will condemn you before God. But he spoke as one having authority within himself and not referring to the ancients or the rabbis or the teachers of old, which the Pharisees often referred to. Matthew 5 and verse 27, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Then he goes, so he says that lust, adulterous lust, is condemned, and he spoke with authority and not as one referring back to the rabbis who often justified or did not condemn inward corrupt thinking as long as the outward conduct seemed to comply with the Word of God on some level. Matthew 5 and verse 31, it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, that is fornication, sexual sin, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And so the idea is that Jesus is saying that divorce for any reason is not justified, even though permitted by the law of Moses, but only divorce for fornication, sexual sin, frees the person who is divorcing to remarry without sin. At the end of the sermon, Matthew 7 and verse 28, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Not as the scribes. And so Jesus claimed to have authority in his teaching directly from God that was different from the way that the scribes and Pharisees taught, referring back to the esteemed rabbis and their traditional teachings, which were often wrong. Jesus appealed to the inspired, God-breathed, authoritative Old Testament, which is what he lived under and what all lived under while he was in his earthly ministry. Matthew 22 and verse 23, just a couple of days before he would be crucified, a few days before then, on that day some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and questioned him, asking, Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother, as next of kin, shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So also the second and the third down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her. But Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what is spoken to you, what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Again, Jesus, appealing to the Word of God, stating that God declared himself, I am the God, not I was the God, or I will be the God, or I have been the God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, indicating that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although dead for many years by the time God spoke to Moses, were still in a living state. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so Jesus, appealing down to the very word, the tense of the word in the Old Testament, Exodus 3 and about verse 14, believing in the inspired or divinely given God-breathed word and its accuracy. John 10 and verse 33, when they were going to stone Jesus for claiming that he is equal with the Father, he and the Father are one. John 10, 33, the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do the works of my Father, do not believe. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. And what Jesus is doing is he's quoting from the 82nd Psalm in that passage that we just read from John. God called the judges gods. And we read from that psalm, regarding the 82nd Psalm, God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and hold on, let me go back. Let's start it again. Psalms 82, verse 1. Let's read it. We got a little ahead of ourselves here. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Vindicate the weak and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy, deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. Then he says in verse 6, which is what Jesus quoted, I said, talking about the judges of Israel, I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. And so, being representatives of God, then he speaks of them in this way, that they should be carrying out the will of God, and they should not be carrying out their own unjust and partial judgments. But Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken. If God spoke of them in this way, then how much more him being equal with the Father, that he should speak of himself as the Son of God, and proving that by the miracles that he performed. Going back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 17, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus, appealing to the Word of God, the Old Testament by which they were living, that nobody should take away or add to it. It will all be fulfilled by Jesus, not sinning at all, and providing the perfect sacrifice for humanity, bringing in the new covenant through his blood. The perfect sacrifice for the sins of humanity, the new covenant brought in so that Jews and Gentiles can be saved by the blood of Jesus and unified in one body, his church. Jesus, tempted in the wilderness, responds to the devil by quoting from the Old Testament. 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil, appealing to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus, withstanding all temptations, quoting the Word of God and living by it in spite of all challenge. Matthew 4 and verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, quoting in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man must live by every word of God, not by our fleshly desires. It was not in the will of God for Jesus to perform a miracle at this time, even though he was hungry. He would trust in God to provide in God's way at God's time. Verse 5, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written in the 91st Psalm, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus quoting again from the 91st Psalm, quoting from Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall not act as if you don't trust in the protection of God he has promised by submitting to Satan, who says that God will not protect you. That would be putting God to the test. And it shows that we must balance the scriptures together. And if we make one scripture sometimes paramount to another, we can disregard what modifies that passage and makes the application completely different. And that's what we need to understand about the Word of God, that it's very easy to misunderstand and misapply the Word of God. That is why we must study and learn to have a complete picture as much as possible of what God would have us do when we place the all of what God has said about any particular matter. But Jesus, again appealing to the Word of God, not submitting to Satan, who tempted by the lust of the eyes. Matthew 4 and verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. From Deuteronomy 6 again. God is the only one we should worship, not angels, men, or Satan, but only God. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. So Jesus again appeals to the inspired Word of God. Living by the Old Testament, and then after he died for our sins, fulfilling the Old Testament and was raised from the dead, fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament about his life, death, and resurrection as well. And he related even the fulfilled prophecies throughout the Old Testament, proving that he's the Son of God to his disciples, who would be guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth. Luke 24:44, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. So he related to them the Word of God, appealing again to the Old Testament. This is the Word of God, what has been written. So Jesus believed in the inspired, authoritative, written Word of God. Jesus, the great teacher, he confirmed to be a teacher from God, the Son of God, deity, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus sinlessly lived by what he taught. We must live according to what we teach. Jesus felt love and compassion for the lost. We should love those whom we teach. And Jesus claimed his teaching is directly from the Father. Jesus claimed his teaching was And we have that twice, I believe. We'll correct that for the next lesson, Lord willing. And Jesus appealed to the inspired, God-breathed, authoritative Old Testament. And so, with that in mind, we will continue next, in a few days, the Lord willing, to the third part of this four-part lesson regarding Jesus being the great teacher. And we will encourage all to respond to the gospel today before we draw our lesson to a close. Jesus is the one who died for our sins after living a sinless life. And he is the one who was raised from the dead on the third day, ascended to the right hand of God, where he is ruling now over heaven and earth. Jesus is God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is Lord of all. And if we believe that, we are to repent of our sins, turn to God from our sins, change our minds and turn to God, confess that faith in Jesus as the Son of God before men, and immediately, as soon as possible, be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. This is how we become children of God, the only way we can become a child of God, not through infant sprinkling or through the sinner's prayer, or any other way other than what we have stated and what we can easily read and clearly read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. We would encourage you to read those chapters. And if you want to know more about the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels that were written, so that we might have faith in Jesus, and that faith is to respond by repentance, confession, and baptism for the forgiveness of sins, that we might become children of God. And then we are to continue on as Christians, abiding in the apostles' teaching, the New Testament, that we can read of Acts chapters 2, 41 through the end of the chapter, and really the rest of the New Testament, what the New Testament teaches, how we should respond to the Word of God. We are to live by those teachings that God has given, including the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the example of Jesus, how he lived. And when we fall short of his will, which we often do in sin, 1 John chapter 1, Acts 8, verse 18 through 24, we are to repent of our sins as Christians, confess them before God, and pray to God for forgiveness. And the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us from all sins. This is the way that Christians are to remain in fellowship with God, through his grace, through faith. And we would encourage all to respond to the Word of God, to the gospel. We would encourage you to contact us by email, text, or phone. We would be glad to communicate with you by Zoom and study with you, or to find those in your area who can study with you. We would encourage you to search the Word of God and then respond, before it is ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.